जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, जय गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीरा बनचारी, यमुना तीरा बनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nittai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. Jaya Jaya Prabhupad, 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 Prabhupad.
Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Jayong Vishnupad Paramahansa Paribrajakacharya Ashtuttara Shatu Shri Shrimad Abhay Charanara Bindu Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupad Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrind Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Shri Mathura Dham Ki Jai. Shri Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai. Shri Mayapur Navadip Dham Ki Jai. Ganga Mai Ki Jai. Jamuna Mai Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai. Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai. Samabeto Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gaurango. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namong Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunnavadi Paschatta Dishatarine Srila Prabhupada Ki Jaya. Jayo Jayo Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Gaur. So Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila Chapter 16 Text 1. It looks like the chapter is beginning, and on Sundays you have Chaitanya Charitamrita class. So text 1. This chapter is entitled as Lord Chaitanya's attempt to go to Vrindavan. Gauradhanam Gauramegha Shinchan Shalokanamritai Swalokanamritai Bhavagni Dagdha Janata Birudha Samajivayat Samajivayat Gauradhanam Gaurameha Sinchan Salokanamritai Bhavagni Dagdha Janata Birudha Samajivayat Gauradhanam Gaurameha Sinchan Swalokanamritai Bhavagni Dagdha Janata Birudha Samajivayat Gauradhanam Gauramegha Sinchan Swalokanamritai Bhavagni Dagdha Janata Birudha Samajivayat with the nectar of the glands. Bhava Agni, by the blazing fire of material existence. Dagdha, having been burnt. Janata, the people in general. Birudha, who are like creepers and plants. Samajivayat, revived. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. By the nectar of His personal glands, the cloud known as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu poured water upon the garden of Gaura-desha and revived the people who are like creepers and plants burning in the forest fire of material existence. Please repeat after me. By the nectar of his personal glands, the cloud known as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,
poured water
upon the garden of Gaura-desh
and revived the people
who are like creepers and plants
burning in the forest fire of material existence.
So quite a few verses don't have any purport, so we just carry on reading. Jaya Jaya Gaura Chandra Jaya Nittananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Lord Nittananda. All glories to Advaita Chandra. All glories to all the devotees of the Lord. Prabhur hoilo iccha jaite Vrindavan, shuniya pratap rudra hoila biman. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to go to Vrindavan, and Maharaj Pratap Rudra became very morose upon hearing this news. Sarvabhauma Ramananda ani dui jan, duhake kohen raja binaya bachan. The king therefore called for Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Ramananda Roy. And Ramananda Roy, and he spoke the following submissive words to them. Niladri chari prabhur mon onnatra jaite, tomara karoho jatno tahare rakhite. Prataprudra Maharaj said, please endeavor to keep Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here at Jagannath Puri, for now he is thinking of going elsewhere. Tahavinai rajyo more nahi bhai, goshai rakhite karoho nana upai. Without Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this kingdom is not pleasing to me. Therefore, please try to devise some plan to enable the Lord to stay here. Ramananda Sarvabhauma Duijana Sthane Tabe Jukti Kare Prabhu Jabo Vrindavane. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself consulted Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, saying, I shall go to Vrindavan. Duhe kahe rath jatra karo darshan, kartik aile tabe koriho gaman. Ramananda Roy and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requested the Lord to observe first the rath jatra festival, then when the month of Kartik arrived, he could go to Vrindavan. Kartik aile kahe ebe mahashit, dolo jatra dekhi jao ei bhalo rit. However, when the month of Kartik came, the both told the Lord, now it's very cold. It is better that you wait to see the dolo jatra festival and then go. That will be very nice. Ajikali kori uthai bibidho upai, jaite shanmati nai dai bichheder bhoy. In this way, they both presented many impediments in indirectly not granting the Lord permission to go to Vrindavan. They did this because they were afraid of separation from him. Jaddapi shatantra prabhu nahe nibaran, bhakto iccha bina prabhu na kare gaman. Although the Lord is completely independent and incapable of being checked by anyone, he still did not go without the permission of his devotees. Tritiyo batsare jabe sab gaurer bhaktogan, nilachali chalite sabar hoilo mon. Then for the third year, all the devotees of Bengal
wanted to return again to Jagannath Puri.
Shabe meli gela chaddoito acharjero pashe, prabhu dekhite acharjo cholila ullashe.
All the Bengali devotees gathered around Advaita Acharya, and in great jubilation Advaita Acharya departed to Jagannath Puri to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Jadyapi prabhur agga gaurete rohite, Nityananda prabhuke prema bhakti prakashite, tathapi cholila mahaprabhure dekhite, Nityanander prema chesta ke pare bujite.
Although the Lord told Nityananda Prabhu to stay in Bengal and spread ecstatic love of God, Nityananda left to go Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who can understand Nityananda Prabhu's ecstatic love?
Acharya Ratna Vidyanidhi Srivas Ramai, Vasudev Murari Govindaditin Bhai, Raghav Pandit Nijo Jhali Sajaiya, Kulin Gram Basichale Patto Dorilaiya.
All the devotees of Navadvip departed, including Advaita Acharya Ratna, Vidyanidhi, Srivas Ramai, Vasudev Murari Govinda, and his two brothers, and Raghav Pandit, who took bags of assorted foods. The inhabitants of Kulingram carrying silken ropes also departed.
Khandobashi Narohari Sri Raghunandan Sarvabhakta Chalitare Kekare Ganun.
Narohari and Sri Raghunandan, who were from the village of Khanda, and many other devotees also departed. Who can count them?
Shivananda Sen kore ghati samadhan, sabare palon kori sukhe loiya jan.
Shivananda Sen, who was in charge of the party, made arrangements to clear the tax collecting centers. He took care of all the devotees and happily traveled with them.
Sabar sab karjo koren dan basasthan, Shivananda jane uriya pathiro sandhan.
Shivananda Sen took care of all the necessities of devotees required. In particular, he made arrangements for residential quarters and he knew the roads of Odisha.
Shebatsar prabhu dekhite sab thakurani, cholila acharya sange achyuta janani.
That year, all the wives of the devotees, thakuranis, also went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Sita Devi, the mother of Achyutananda, went with Advaita Acharya. Shivas Pandit sange cholila malini, Shivananda sange chale taharo grihini.
Shivas Pandit also took his wife Malini, and the wife of Shivananda Sen also went with her husband.
Shivanander balok nam Chaitanya Das, deho cholite choliyache prabhure dekhite ullash.
Chaitanya Das, the son of Shivananda Sen, also jubilantly accompanied them as they went to see the Lord.
Acharya Ratna sange chale tahar grihini, tahar premer katha kohite na jani.
The wife of Chandrasekhar, Acharya Ratna, also went. I cannot speak of the greatness of Chandrasekhar's love for the Lord.
Sab thakurani maha prabhu ke bhikha dite, prabhur nana priya drobbo nilo ghar hoite.
To offer Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu various types of food, all the wives of the great devotees brought from home various things that pleased Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Shivananda Sen kore sab samadhan, ghatiyal prabhuti den sabare basasthan.
As stated, Shivananda Sen used to make all arrangements for the party's necessities. In particular, he used to pacify the men in charge of levying taxes and he found resting places for everyone. Bhakkhodiya karen shabar sarvatra palane parama anande jan prabhur darshane. Shivananda Sen also supplied food to all the devotees and took care of them along the way. In this way, feeling great happiness, he went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Jagannath Puri. Remunaya ashya koilo gopinath darshan acharya korilataha kirtan nartan. When they all arrived at Remuna, they went to see Lord Gopinath in the temple there. Advaitacharya danced and chanted. Nityanander parichay sab sevako shane bahut sanman ashi koilo sevak gane. All the priests of the temple, had been previously acquainted with Sri Nityananda Prabhu. Therefore, they all came to offer great respects to the Lord. Shei ratri sab mahanto tahai rohila barokhir aniyage sevak dharila. That night, all the great devotees remained in the temple, and the priest brought 12 pots of condensed milk, which they placed before the Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Khir bati shabare dilo Prabhu Nityananda, khir prasad paiya shabar poril barilo ananda. When the condensed milk was placed before Nityananda Prabhu, he distributed the prasad to everyone. And thus everyone's transcendental bliss increased. Madhav Purir katha Gopal sthapan, tahare Gopal joiche magilo chandan. They then all discussed the story of Sri Madhavendra Puri's installation of the Gopal deity, and they discussed how Gopal begged sandalwood from him. Tar lagi Gopinath khir churi koilo Mahaprabhur mukhe age ekatha sunilo. It was Gopinath who stole condensed milk for the sake of Madhavendra Puri. The incident had been previously related by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. Shei sab shei katha shobar moddhe kahe Nityananda shuniya Vaishnav mone barilo ananda. The same narration was again related to Nityananda. The same narration was again related by Lord Nityananda to all the devotees, and their transcendental bliss increased as they heard the story again. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The word Mahaprabhu Mukhe from the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are significant because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first heard the story of Madhavendra Puri from his spiritual master, Sripad Ishwar Puri. For this story refers to Madhya Lila chapter 4, verse 18. After staying at Sri Advaita's house in Shantipur for some time, the Lord narrated the story of Madhavendra Puri to Nityananda Prabhu, Jagadananda Prabhu, Damodar Pandit, and Mukunda Das. When they went to Remuna, to the temple of Gopinath, he described Mahaprabhu. There he described Madhavananda Puri's installation of the Gopal deity as well as Gopinath's stealing of condensed milk. Due to this incident, Lord Gopinath became well known as Khir Chor, the thief who stole condensed milk. So, this first verse is actually very important. But I didn't want to discuss that at that time because there was no purport to that verse. Generally, the first verse often describes the essence of the chapter, the whole chapter. So the essence of the whole chapter, this chapter is entitled The Lord's Attempt to Go to Vrindavan. And it has been pointed out, by the nectar of his personal glance, the cloud known as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu poured water upon the garden of Gauradesh and revived the people who are like creepers and plants burning in the forest fire of material existence. Actually, the essence of this particular verse also is similar to what we sing every day, every morning. Samsara dava nalalidha loka tranaya karuna ghana ghanattam. Samsara dava. Samsar means material existence. This materialistic existence where we try to enjoy through sense gratification, and that causes us in a cycle of birth and death. We get trapped into this cycle of birth and death, although essentially we all are immortal. Living entities, the jivas, are immortal. The soul is immortal. But losing that essential nature of the soul, the living entity become trapped in a cycle of birth and death. A living entity begins to identify himself with this body, and the acceptance of a new body is identified as birth, and departure from an old body is death. In this way, a living entity keeps on transmigrating in this material nature from one body to another. So that cycle is called samsara, the cycle of birth and death. And being born here, what do we get? We are constantly suffering. It's like being trapped in a forest fire. Samsara, therefore, has been compared to Davanal, forest fire. So everybody in this material nature is burning in this forest fire of material existence. But then comes, one point here is, the forest fire cannot be extinguished by any other means. No amount of fire brigade can extinguish the forest fire. The only way the forest fire, the blazing forest fire, can be extinguished if there is torrents of rain. So the living entities in the material nature is suffering and there is no way out of it. The only way the living entity's suffering condition can be mitigated if there is the nectarian shower of Krishna consciousness. Tranaya karuna ghana ghanattam. Ghana ghana means cloud. The cloud that pours torrents of water. So that is the mercy of the spiritual master. Like, unless and until one comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, one cannot get out of the cycle of birth and death. Because nobody has this information. The only person who has the information of how to get out of this material, suffering material condition of existence is Krishna consciousness. Therefore, only those who know this secret can deliver one from his suffering condition. And that process was initially brought by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the bona fide spiritual masters are simply distributing that, what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave. Therefore, here it has been compared that Gaura Desh is like a garden. Gaura Desh means the land of Bengal, one can say. There are two essential spiritual aspects in this material nature. One is Brajamandal or Mathura Mandal, and the other is Gaura Mandal. Gaurama Shigaura Mandala Bhumi Jeba Jane Chintamani Tar Hoy Brajo Bhume Bash. One who knows that this Gaura Mandala Bhumi is non-different from Vrindavan, that means Vrindavan is an extension of spiritual world, and similarly this Gaura Mandala is also an extension of the spiritual world. And the spiritual world is composed of Chintamani, touchstone. So, when one understands that, although he is situated in Gaura Mandala, or in the land of Gaura Mandala, Bengal, today's Bengal, he resides in Vrindavan. Tar hoy brajo bhume bash. Because there is no difference between Gaura Mandala bhumi and Mathura Mandala bhumi. So, Braja Mandala bhumi. So, here the land of Gaura Mandala or Bengal has been compared to a garden. And the living entity in Gaura Mandala, what was their condition? Although it is a garden, full of beautiful creepers and plants, birudhas, but they were drying up. They were drying up with the scorching heat of materialistic influence of the age of Kali. Kali Yuga caused, as it is, the material nature is a place of suffering. And this suffering becomes extremely intensified in this age of Kali. So in the age of Kali, the living entities, like the creepers in creepers and plants in the beautiful flower garden, they were all drying out. But then came Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has been compared to a cloud. And he started to shower the nectar, reviving samajivayat, reviving them, those living entities. So that's what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. He came and he distributed Krishna consciousness all over Bengal. He started it there. Then he went to Jagannath Puri. Then he started to travel, went all the way to South India. And then he went all the way to Vrindavan. And wherever he went, he distributed Krishna prema. Jare dekhe tare kahe dante trina kori amare kiniya lahu bhajo gaura hari. The distributing agent, the main distributor of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Krishna prema, was Nityananda Prabhu. Nityananda Prabhu therefore has been compared to the soul selling agent. In business, you get the manufacturer. The manufacturer doesn't sell. He gives the right of soul selling agency to somebody. Soul selling agent. And that soul selling agent actually distributes it all over. So in this process, Mahaprabhu's arrangement of distribution of Krishna prema, Nityananda Prabhu is a soul selling agent. Mahajan, Nityananda Mahajan. And there is a marketplace where this commodity is sold. What is the commodity? The commodity is the holy name, which is the source of Krishna prema. The holy name is the source of Krishna Prem. One chants the holy name, the result is he gets Krishna Prem. So this arrangement has been made by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that's why he is Mahavadanya, the most munificent. In no other incarnation the Lord has displayed such mercy to the living entities. Like if we consider normally, the Vedas are the source that is giving us the direction for spiritual progress. Now the Vedas initially are dealing with Karmakanda section, then Gyanakanda section. The Karmakanda section of the Vedas are giving us the direction of how to enjoy in this material nature. That has been described in Bhagavad Gita as flowery words. Jamimang pushpitang bacha. Very flowery. Like it, very alluring. You want this, do this, you'll get it. You want to become very rich? Yes, this is how you can become rich. You want to become a king? This is how you can become a king. You are not satisfied being a king, you want to be the ruler of the entire earth planet? Okay, go ahead and do this. You'll become the ruler of the earth planet. You are not satisfied being the ruler of the earth planet? Okay, fine. Go, become the ruler of the heavenly planet. In this way, the Karmakanda section of the Vedas are giving different directions. But eventually what happens? An intelligent person realizes that in spite of all my endeavor, I am suffering. I thought by being rich, I'll be free from suffering. I'll enjoy. I became rich, still I'm suffering. Then I thought if I become a king, then I'll be able to enjoy. I became a king, still I'm suffering. Then I thought if I can become the king of the entire earth planet, then I'll be able to enjoy. And even then, I'm suffering. On the other hand, these suffering conditions are actually increasing because the enjoyment, the higher is the degree of enjoyment, greater is the extent of suffering. So that is the reality. So in this material nature, everyone is meant to suffer. And when one realizes that, in spite of all my endeavor to enjoy, I'm suffering. Did you all realize that? Okay, please raise your hands. Those were... Only few hands. Seriously. How many of you are thinking that or realize that you are suffering in this material nature? That's better. Or did I twist your arm to raise your hand? So that is the intelligent understanding. I am suffering. Krishna is saying, Dukkhalayam. Dukkhalayam. This material nature is a place of suffering. So when one realizes that this material nature is a place of suffering, then naturally he wants to get out of that suffering condition. So normally what one does, one tries to get out of the material nature. The Karmakanda section gives the prescriptions how to enjoy. And Gyanakanda section shows the way how to get out of here. Bhukti, mukti. Karmakanda sections give bhukti or enjoyment in the material nature. And Gyanakanda leads to liberation or mukti. But that liberation is not real liberation that one gets through Gyanakanda. The example is, say a person is in a prison house. He wants to get out of the prison. What does one do normally? What does a criminal who is suffering in the prison want to do? Right. Dig a tunnel out of the prison. Right? And he may get out of the prison by digging a tunnel. He may escape. But can he really escape? No. He may have gone out of the prison, but the entire police will be after him. He won't be able to live in a happy way or become free from anxiety. He can't. Rather, the anxiety increases in that condition because he has to constantly hide, constantly run, and then when he is caught, then what happens? Put back to the prison. The sentence has now increased, become more severe. But what? This is the negative way of getting out of the prison. What is the positive way of getting out of the prison? You recognize why you are in the prison. What is the cause? Crime. What is the meaning of crime? Breaking the law is crime. Who makes the law? The king. So what is the safest way of getting out of the prison? Appeal to the king. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I promise I'll never ever commit this mistake. Right? Then the king, what does he do? He reports to the prison authorities. It seems that this guy is improving. So take care of him. Watch him, how he is doing. Then the prison authorities see him as a role model for other prisoners. So they put him up. Be like him. Then your suffering condition will be over. And the prison authorities give him facilities. He is not treated like a prisoner anymore. He gets very special facilities. He, although in the prison, he is like a free person. And then eventually, the king sends a message, I need a good servant. And the prison authority says, he's the best one. So the king sends his chariot to take him. And where does the servant go? He goes to the palace. Now out of these two options, which one is better? No. The second one, naturally. So the first one is like trying to get out of the material nature by dint of one's own endeavor. Therefore, Gyanakanda is not the solution. Therefore, Chaitanya Charitamrita actually is saying, Karma Kanda, Gyanakanda, Keboli Bishero Bhando, Omrito Bhavya Jeva Khai, Nana Joni Brahman Kore, Kodarjo Bhakkhan Kore, Tar Janmo Adhoppate Jai. Karmakanda section of the Vedas and Gyanakanda section of the Vedas have been compared to two pots of poison. Bishero Bhando. Bish means poison, Bhando means pot. This Karmakanda section and Gyanakanda section of the Vedas are two pots of poison. Omrita Boliya Jeva Khai. One who drinks that, thinking that that's nectar, he simply migrates from one body to another. He simply transmigrates from one body to another. And he eats all kinds of garbage. And his life is doomed. Now, what is the real way? Now here, let us consider. What is our crime? Okay, first of all, is it a prison house, this material nature? What is our situation? Criminals. Otherwise, why would we be here? Who goes to the prison? Who is sent to the prison? Not gentlemen.
the criminals. Criminal means those who broke the law. Whose law? The king's law. Who makes the law? King makes the law. Who is the king here? Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the King of Kings. And his law is very simple. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Simple law. Just surrender unto me. Now when we didn't surrender unto him and wanted to become Krishna ourselves, of all the crimes, you know what is the most dangerous and most severe crime of all the crimes? To revolt against the king and try to take over his kingdom, try to take over his throne. Nityananda Prabhu is a lawyer, he'll confirm that. Isn't it? When somebody tries to revolt against the king in order to take over his kingdom, that is the most severe, worst kind of crime. And that is the crime that we committed. Maybe in an innocent way, maybe whatever may have been the reason, but we wanted to become like Krishna, the supreme enjoyer. Krishna said, fine, go to the place where here you can't be the supreme enjoyer, because this is the reality, the absolute reality, where there is no room for falsity. That is a region of absolute truth. So in that world we could not fulfill our desire. Therefore Krishna sent us here, where we can have the opportunity to become the enjoyer, supreme enjoyer. In our minor, tiny little way, we are actually trying to become the supreme enjoyer. Everyone, from ant to the greatest personality in this material nature, has same tendency. You go to an ant and just come on its way, the ant will stand up. Who are you? Why are you stopping my progress? Don't you know who I am? So that is our condition. Everyone in this material nature is thinking, I am the greatest. I am the greatest. I am the center of everything. Everything is meant for my enjoyment. And we are being punished. But then somebody comes and tells us that, look, this is the reason why you are suffering, and this is the way out of your suffering condition. And he gives us the simple understanding from Bhagavad Gita, from Srimad Bhagavatam, from the essential Vedic scriptures. And this teaching is very simple. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are his part and parcel. Therefore, your business is to serve him. Don't want to become the master, become the servant. Servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the moment we develop that attitude, then immediately the suffering condition is over. We may not feel it immediately, but the process began. So this is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually gave us a very, very simple process. Why it is so simple? Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is considered to be Mahavadanya, most munificent? Because in other ages, one had to go through these different levels or different process. Karmakanda section, Gyanakanda section, and the ultimate aspect of the Gyanakanda is yoga, Ashtanga Yoga. In Ashtanga Yoga, one used to achieve samadhi, trance, by seeing the Lord in the heart. And seeing the Lord in the heart, when one used to surrender to the Lord, then only devotion
began, or then only one became eligible to become a devotee of the Lord. So such an arduous process. Go through Karmakanda section, go through Gyanakanda section, achieve the perfection of yoga, and then only comes the question of surrendering. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and gave us a direct process. Don't have to go through all these arduous processes. Direct achievement of the goal. Surrender to Krishna. Krishna gave the process, but people didn't understand. People didn't understand because they didn't have a qualified teacher to explain. The books may be there, but if the teacher is not there to reveal the books, we won't be able to understand the purport. So that is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tranaya karunya ghana ghanatyam. And following the process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave, the bona fide spiritual masters are distributing this knowledge, distributing the process all over the world. And this is how, and this is why Srila Prabhupada came, this is why Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Srila Prabhupada to fulfill his prediction that this Krishna consciousness movement would spread all over the world. And today we are seeing, by Prabhupada's mercy, it's happening. Everywhere this movement is spreading. Just Srila Prabhupada came and he gave the knowledge, and his loyal followers are distributing that. And in this way, generation after generations, the process will continue. Parampara will continue. So we are very fortunate that we somehow have come across Srila Prabhupada's teachings, somehow or other became convinced about Srila Prabhupada's teachings and accepted the process. And now we simply have to just continue. We have come to the right place, we found the right way, and now we simply have to stay on, and eventually we will be able to reach the ultimate destination, which is the spiritual sky. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari. Yes, Narottam Prabhu.
Thank you so much for taking the trouble to come here and to speak to us. My question, when you were quoting the verses, in my mind, I was remembering this verse, Bhuti Mukti Siddhi Kami Shakaleshan.
Yeah, very good.
And, so for my own spiritual progress, I seem to have an impediment in that I don't really accept the body as a punishment. Because, and nor do I see it as a punishment, but I also, like my association in general, seems to encourage me to constantly enjoy with the body. So my question is, even though I'm practicing sadhana, and quite seriously, chanting and practicing, trying to engage myself in Krishna consciousness, I get some like momentous, you know, realization at times, but constantly, you know, I become covered over by this enjoying tendency and, you know, something like that. So my question really has to do with, how do you go from that platform of just some momentous spiritual realization and then a continuous struggle with, you know, desires for sense gratification and material acquisition, to the point where you're actually experiencing like what you're describing, where you're actually experiencing like full Krishna consciousness, or where you're experiencing like constant realization, where you're no longer allured by bad association or by, you know, misconceptions. How do you go from that platform, you know, to the advanced stage? What's, could you speak about that, please?
Yeah, thank you very much. Very nice question. You see, this allurement to enjoy in this material nature is unavoidable, because we are in the world of matter. We are being constantly driven by our senses. Naturally, they are craving for sense enjoyment. So, this is natural tendency, right? And the wonderful thing is, that's another aspect, that's why I said that this question was very nice, very relevant, because you're giving me an opportunity to speak about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special mercy. You see, the nice thing about Sankirtan is that there is no rejection. There is all acceptance. Only thing that we reject are no meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. Yeah. These are the only four no's. Otherwise, everything is yes. Right? Yes, in the sense, you can do that in relation to Krishna. Example, Krishna bara dayamai, kori bare jiu bhajai, shaprasad anna dilabhai. Right? So, whatever we are, you know, craving for, there's a possibility of doing it with Krishna in the center. Right? So that is the meaning of Sankirtan. That using everything for the sake of glorifying Krishna. Say somebody wants to be very rich. But when he thinks that let me become rich in order to spread Krishna consciousness, that's how that tendency is becoming spiritualized. Somebody likes to fight. Okay, fight for Krishna. Of course, that has been forbidden in this age. Mahaprabhu himself didn't take any weapon. So serious fighting is not really the way. But I'm talking about in other ages, the thought that came to my mind was Arjun is a warrior. Kshatriyas love to fight. That is their joy. They derive their joy by fighting. Okay, fight for Krishna. So, you know, in Krishna consciousness, there is room for everything in order to glorify Krishna. If you want to write, write for Krishna. If you want to sing, sing for Krishna. If you like to cook, cook for Krishna. Even if you like to eat, eat Krishna prasad. So, you know, there is a room for being engaged in a positive way. And in the process, yes, our senses are becoming gratified. We are enjoying. So Krishna consciousness is a process of, like, again, another example. Prabhupada is saying, the Mayavadis, when somebody gives them money, they take their hands at the back and say, no, we don't touch money, we don't touch money. When somebody gives us money, we take it with our right hand and then we stretch our left hand for some more. So that's the difference. Mayavadis, Prabhupada is saying that they are so austere. But just put a rasgulla in their mouth and we'll see where their austerity goes. So, you know, it's not natural what they are doing. Whereas Krishna consciousness is an absolutely natural process. Whatever your tendency is, you can utilize it in Krishna's service. And that is the prerogative that the leaders have. Like Prabhupada was a perfect leader because Prabhupada could engage his followers according to their propensities. So propensities means the natural tendency that one has. There is no need to carve it, but dovetail it. That's the expression Prabhupada again used. Dovetail it. Yes.
Like yesterday night, you were speaking about leadership in ISKCON, and Nityananda Prabhu asked that nice question, and you mentioned when the leader comes to the point of giving up desire for sense gratification and maintaining purity, that they actually come to the stage of being an actual leader. So it seems that at a certain point in our spiritual advancement, we give up, you know, those personal qualities or inclinations, and we actually, you know, surrender ourselves. We come more under, you know, the guidance of, say, someone else who's under a spiritual master's guidance, who's free from sense gratification. Do you see my question? As one advances, it seems there's a certain point where we're no longer interested in personal tendencies or desires, and that becomes converted more into a unity with the desire of the spiritual master or of the advanced Vaishnava. Is that correct? Like an example I would give is, say, you know, as a grihastha, you're serving your family. But as an acharya, as a sannyasi, you're serving the acharya. Now you could say, okay, it's equal, but to me, it doesn't seem to be equal. It seems there's a more advanced stage. That's what I'm trying to get to. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So there are different degrees of, you know, surrender, and accordingly there are degrees of service attitude. Bottom line is that, you know, like, the more we surrender, the more intense becomes our service attitude. And as you were saying, the purity is actually the purity of intention, ultimately, right? Purity of intention means not for me, for Krishna. Idam Krishnaya, na mama. Now, not that everybody will be at that level, totally surrendered to Krishna right away. It may not happen straight away, but that's the goal. So therefore, you know, like when somebody has certain, you know, desire to kind of go through, let him go through that. But gradually, if he is practicing the process properly, he will come to the point of perfect detachment. And it is not a matter of sannyasi or grihastha. It is a matter of internal attitude. Like, that's why Mahaprabhu is saying, Nahang vipra nacha narapati naapi vaishana sudra. You know, I am not in this, you know, it doesn't matter what my situation is. I am neither belong to that. My thing is that I am a servant of Krishna. Externally, whatever my designation may be, but the ultimate consideration is that I am a servant of Krishna. And so that is the ultimate consideration of purity.
Maharaj, the previous time you were the chairman of the International GBC, I read a wonderful dream that you had, in which Srila Prabhupada came and you expressed your concern that he had asked that we cooperate as our sign of love for him, if we will cooperate. And you were expressing this concern that it doesn't look like we are cooperating, so what is our position? Are we doomed? What's going to happen to us? And he sort of responded, said many nice things to you. Now you're again the chairman of the International GBC. How do you see things have played out in terms of that dream that you had when Prabhupada responded by saying that one of the things that he had said was, but actually in future there will be people who will follow, and so everything will be all right. At the present time it may be, because this world is a place of conflict. He said some universes that he travels to, they cooperate, in some universes they don't, and this is one of those universes where people don't cooperate. Mm-hmm. So you said, well, does that mean that, you know, we're doomed? And he gave a very nice reply to that.
Yeah. You know, things are changing in a way, like, you know, soon after Prabhupada's departure from this planet, we were quite overwhelmed with grief and insecurity, immaturity. But with the passing of time, you know, like, the maturity came, and we are recognizing that we can't just continue to depend upon Srila Prabhupada all the time. We have to stand on our own feet. We have to take the rein and, you know, steer the movement. You know, like, so I'll say that is the difference, you know. Those days, you know, due to immaturity, I was feeling in a certain way. But today, I feel that we have to grow up. And growing up means do the right thing. Do the right thing, because there is no consideration of, you know, my personal, you know, likes or dislike. Our consideration should be, what Srila Prabhupada wanted. Our consideration should be, what is needed to guide this movement for the future? What is needed to secure this movement for the future? And in order to do that, yes, we have to become united. You know, like, I mean, I'll tell you, I mean, a feeling that I have, like, you see, when I act as a GBC, I mean, say, when I was in the, initially when I came to the GBC, our movement at that time was going through a major problem. Major problem. You know, practically, you know, things were falling apart. And, you know, it was a challenge, you know, like, and we could face the challenge with the confidence, I'm not alone. I have the, you know, whole GBC body with me. So that is the real strength, you know. If we think that I will do it, I may not be able to do anything. But if I consider that we can do it, then it becomes easy. And I tell you, Prabhupada has created such a wonderful arrangement of, you know, a community of devotees. You know, ISKCON is such a wonderful arrangement of Srila Prabhupada. Like, as I was telling you the other day, you know, the cow protection. The moment we took that up as an agenda, then all kinds of gates started to open up, you know. As if, you know, people say, yeah, come on, I am with you. You know, from different corners, you know, like, you know, you get this wonderful support. And you feel that I'm, you know, this is Prabhupada's project. Therefore, everyone is there to side with you and support you. So, I mean, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I was thinking that, you know, it looks like to me now, from what happened earlier to now, is that there's more acceptance of the devotees' initiative to do things, you know. I see now that more devotees are doing things by their own initiative, and they're getting support from others who are saying, like Lord Krishna says, that the two gifts he gave mankind were Krishi Goraksha, you know, that agriculture and cow protection. These are the two gifts to mankind.
Right.
But we didn't seem to so much take it up earlier, because Srila Prabhupada did want the Sankirtan movement to get established. So he didn't focus on that, because there was an immediate focus that had to be taken care of. Mm. Now it seems like the focus is changing to the gifts that Lord Krishna actually gave mankind.
Right.
Is that correct, or am I just...
Yeah, sure, sure. Like, you see, although this is one of our most important agenda, Prabhupada couldn't push that agenda because his concern was to establish the movement. But now that the movement has been considerably established, then we can go into this specific agenda, you know. Come to think of it, you know, if Prabhupada was just concerned about cow protection at that time, you know, could this movement spread the way it did? No. Rather, on the other hand, Prabhupada would have been faced an enormous opposition to that. Although Prabhupada emphasized it, I noticed, like, whenever Prabhupada used to speak to the Christian priests and thing, Prabhupada's point was, why are you killing? Thou shalt not kill. Jesus is saying, I mean, your tenth command, one of the most important commandment is, thou shalt not kill. Why are you killing? Meaning, why are you killing cows? Prabhupada was emphatically pointing it out, you know. And so now it has, the time has come, and the world also is waking up. Like, you know, as I was telling you, the vegans, from nowhere they came. I mean, obviously they took the thing from Srila Prabhupada, or they developed that compassion towards the animals, which was totally missing in the Western culture. And they had all the sympathy for dolphins, they have all the sympathy for koala bears, but no sympathy for cows. Right? And now the world is, like, as I was telling you, the other day I was in Santa Cruz. I went on a morning walk, japa walk, and in a garden, in a park. And on the park, on the tarred road, on white, in big bold letters has been written, "We are vegans. We don't eat animals." You know, so, you know, like, the world is waking up with that, you know, understanding. And now is the time that we take the lead and point out that banning the milk products, cow's products, that's not going to solve the problem. We have to literally stop the culture of cow killing. Directly approach that agenda.
We can see protecting that with Buddhism. Buddhism said non-violence, right? It
right.
said do not kill.
Yeah.
But more and more killing is going on. So, but Srila Prabhupada established the holy name as the basis on which everything can be done, the spreading of the holy name. And now the results are coming, actually, because of that.
Right.
We can see that. So he gave us the right priorities, and then he said, now your service is actually to protect the cows.
That's true.
And to do agriculture, so the whole world can become peaceful and united again and happier once more.
And through this process, we can counteract Kali's influence. You know, what Kali is doing is bringing people from the villages into the cities. And in the cities, they are learning how to break the four regulative principles, becoming Kali's agents. So if we want to counteract Kali's project, Kali's agenda, then we have to take people from the cities back to the villages. And the way to do that is, the basic foundation has to be agriculture and cow protection. Now, I was told the big farms are being sold out, you know, because the next generation don't want to continue to farm, because they are more into, you know, sort of IT industries and other such jobs than farming. It's in a way it's good. Like, we have to gather our resources and start buying all those farms. Actually, another thing is that China is doing that. Many Chinese people are coming and buying all these farms because they know that, you know, the importance of farming. Like, recently I was in Australia, and they told me that they're buying up all the powdered milk from Australia and shipping them to China because they don't have milk. The culture, you know, the industrialization completely destroyed the agriculture community. So this, and that's why they're coming and buying all the farms in, you know, Australia, in Fiji also. They're buying a lot of farms. In America, they're buying farms. We started the game, but others are superseding us. Yes, Narottam Prabhu.
I've been traveling back and forth across the U.S. and I was shocked how many farms are for sale. Yeah, like any major highway, just practically coming into any city, you'll see 2, 3, 4, 10, 20 farms for sale. And you'll see like the houses and the barns are kind of so-so condition, you know, like the family struggled and at the end finally just left it. And my friends are telling me that the United States Department of Agriculture now is giving these like such low interest 30-year loans. Some of the devotee couples have been buying farms and the government funds it. If you have even a small amount of experience, they they fund the projects, everything you need to start it up.
Wonderful. Yeah.
But I'm seeing that as a huge trend across the country. But you know, my question I really wanted to ask you is about in Ujjain. It seems that your project, I mean, it doesn't seem, it obviously has become tremendously successful. And from every perspective that I can see and what I've heard about. And my question is, it seems, you know, that you gained like the full support of the city and also of the local government. And I wanted to ask you, you know, how did you springboard it? I mean, of course it's India, but you know, it just didn't happen automatically. I was wondering if you could speak just a little bit about that, please.
Yeah. It was in 2004. Uma Bharati, one lady, very spiritually inclined, you know, from her childhood she is giving discourses on Srimad Bhagavatam. She became the chief minister of Madhya Pradesh. And she wanted ISKCON to be there. So I got to know about that. Then I got my secretary to be in touch with her. At that time I was in America. So when I went back, I met her. And that's how it all started. You know, like, it was she who actually proposed. Initially, I was thinking of a large piece of land on the bank of Narmada, because that's the main river there. But when I went and saw the place, you know, like, I found that it's very rocky, the bank of Narmada. So in the evening I went back, you know, she, and when I met her, after seeing, actually she gave me her own private plane to go around and see the places. And I told her all the places I saw, I didn't like any one of them. Then she suggested, why don't you think of doing something in Ujjain? Because Ujjain is a place of Sandipani Muni's ashram. And then it occurred to me, so next morning I went to Ujjain. And you know, I immediately fell in love with that place. So that's how it started, actually. I had some support, but unfortunately, she resigned shortly after that, before we could even start our project. And the support is there, but the support is not like the way she was supporting us, you know. Anyway, things are happening.
Thank you very much.
So, yes. So, this is the last question I'll take.
Huh? We like to support the vegan movement because, it leans towards cow protection in the sense that people care that the cows are being treated badly. But we have the approach that we shouldn't have any dairy products. That this is, well, that's vegan automatically means no dairy. So in response to that, all of our ISKCON, in North America, all of the ISKCON restaurants have become vegan. They don't serve dairy, most of them in the home programs and Food for Life. And we read in the higher taste that we distribute to people. Prabhupada says that the Krishna consciousness movement uses many dairy products. Our whole approach of cow protection, Gauraksha, is through the use of dairy products. And having the market for dairy products is helpful for the cows. The cow, like I read an article yesterday that there's a $4 billion industry of cow slaughter in India. And there's no really any connection of people becoming vegan actually doing anything that actually helps the cows. But if there's a market for milk, then the cows have some bargaining chip. They have something to give for their own existence.
As I mentioned in the course of our discussion, you see, veganism is a kind of a sentimental thing. It's not based on proper wisdom and knowledge. But still, you know, it is better than the worst. It's better than the worst, but it's not the best. Right? Krishna consciousness is the way. By, you know, like stopping to take cow's milk or milk products is not going to stop these people from, you know, because, you know, their main industry, their main source of income is not cow's milk, but cow's flesh. And milk is a byproduct for them of that industry. Therefore, they can afford to sell it at such a cheap rate. So, anyway, but there's a big appeal. The vegans have a big support. So, not that we have to take their path. Like, as you said, okay, vegans want to eat, don't want to eat dairy products. So in order to cater to them, you know, we say, okay, we won't use dairy products because they are our main customers. Here we are actually providing, we are providing the demand, right? But that is not our main objective. We may not use the milk products in the restaurants, but in the altar, 30% of our preparations that we offer to the deities are milk products. All the things are cooked in pure ghee. So, you know, our agenda is carrying on, but it's not that we have to follow the vegans. We are not going to offer vegan products in Rajbhog, you know. Our Rajbhog will be according to our main standard. Our devotees' prasad is going to be according to our main standard, where milk product is predominating. Thank you. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare.